There are three verses that we would like to read for our message this evening. The first one is Psalm 124. Psalm 124, and we will read verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And then we also want to read Psalm 146, verses 5 and 6. Psalm 146, verses 5 and 6. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, or in King James, who keeps truth forever. And then Psalm 138, verse 8. Psalm 138, verse 8. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me, your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Thus far the reading of God's word, and may God himself add his divine blessing to it. One of the elements of our public worship service is the votum. Or here in our bulletin, we call it declaration of dependence. But in other bulletins, they call it the votum. Now, you might ask, what is the votum? Where did we get this idea of having the votum as a part of our worship service? And what is the significance of the votum in our public or corporate worship? Well, these are the questions that I will seek to answer with God's help. And I have 3 points in this message, all in the form of a question. And here's the first one. What is the votum? Secondly, what is the origin of the votum? Where did it come from? And finally, what is the significance of the votum in our worship service? Why is it that we hear our pastor say every Sunday, our help is in the name of the Lord? So first of all, let's consider what is the votum. In our federation, the United Reformed Churches in North America, the standard votum is Psalm 124, verse 8, which reads, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Or my own version of the votum is the combination of the three passages that we read. You may have noticed that my version of the votum goes like this. Our help is in the name of the Lord who has made heaven and earth. So that's taken from Psalm 124, verse 8. Who keeps truth forever. That's taken from Psalm 146, verse 5. and who will never forsake the works of his own hands, taken from Psalm 138, verse 8. Nevertheless, it is common that a minister will just read Psalm 124, verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And this Psalm, Psalm 124, verse 8, has become the standard votum in our federation. But please understand that the votum is unique to a congregation with a Dutch Reformed tradition. In other words, if you attend a worship service by a church which does not have a Dutch Reformed background, most likely you will not hear this votum. For example, if you attend a worship service by a non-denominational church or by a Methodist church or by a Lutheran church or by a Baptist church, most likely you will not see a votum in their order of worship. Why? Because the votum, as an element of public worship, is unique to churches with Dutch Reformed heritage. For that reason, if you attend a worship service by, let's say, CRC, Christian Reformed Church, or HRC, Heritage Reformed Church, or FRC, Free Reformed Church, in all likelihood, you will hear a votum because all those churches have a Dutch Reformed tradition. Now, here's the question. Where did the votum come from? Yes, we know it came from the Bible. But how about the practice of pronouncing it as part of our worship service? Where did we get that idea? Well, that will lead us to my second point, which is the origin of the votum. Now, in the Psalter Hymnal Supplement, published in 1974, the Liturgical Committee of the Christian Reformed Church says that the votum has a complicated historical background. The saying of Psalm 124, verse 8, "Our help is in the name of the Lord," was originally said privately by a Roman Catholic priest. What happened was that during the medieval period, the priest would whisper the words of Psalm 124, verse 8, and he would whisper it along with his private confession as he entered the sanctuary to celebrate Mass. So imagine this, medieval period, Roman Catholic Church, you have a priest, and this priest is about to enter God's sanctuary to celebrate Mass. As he enters God's sanctuary, he whispers Psalm 124, verse 8, "Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." And with that statement, citation of Psalm 124, verse 8, he also makes his private confession. Maybe this priest will say, "Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me. I'm about to celebrate Mass." Now, during the Reformation, John Calvin took over the words of Psalm 124, verse 8, to begin their public worship service in Geneva. And John Calvin included the saying of "Our help is in the name of the Lord" in their order of worship. But he never called it a votum, as far as we know. And he did not tell us why he used the words of Psalm 124, verse 8. Well, probably one of the reasons, again, he did not tell us why exactly, but we can safely assume that it's because that was the standard practice of the priest during that time. The priest would recite the words of Psalm 124, verse 8. And John Calvin adopted that practice. And now he started saying the words of Psalm 124, verse 8, as they would begin their worship service. Now, even today, no one is quite sure of how this Latin word votum crept into and managed to stay in a Reformed liturgy. Some people think that since few people know what a votum is, we should just drop this word from our liturgical vocabulary. After all, they say, its appearance on the order of worship is liturgically useless. That's why in many churches today, they don't have the votum anymore, because they would say, well, we don't know where it came from. And what does it really mean, that Latin word votum? So might as well just exclude that or drop that word and maybe include something else as part of our worship service. Well, what I'm going to do in my remaining time, in my third point, which is my main point in this message, is show you that the appearance of the votum on our order of worship is not liturgically useless, but actually useful. I'm going to show to you, with God's help, that the votum has an important role in our worship service, that we should keep pronouncing the words of Psalm 124, verse 8, as part of our worship service. And so, here's my question now. What does the votum signify? And this is now my third point, the significance of the votum in our public worship service. Now, four things. It signifies four things. If you are jotting down, here's the first one. The votum is our solemn vow or promise to God. The votum is not a prayer in itself. Rather, it is a vow or promise made to God. In fact, the very term votum comes from the Latin verb vovere, which means to vow or promise. And so when a minister pronounces the votum, he is making a vow to God on behalf of the congregation that our help comes from the Lord. Psalm 121 verse 1 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And so the votum is our promise or pledge to our God that we will find our help in no one else but in God alone. As David says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Why? Because our help is in the name of the Lord. This is our solemn vow to our God. What does it mean? What does it mean to us as we worship God? Well, it means that we will worship God not in our strength, but in God's strength. It means that even when we pray to God congregationally and when we pray to God silently, we will do so not in our own power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. It means that even when we sing praises to God, we will sing not using our own strength, but using God's strength. It means that even as we listen to God's word, or when the law is read in our hearing, that we will listen to God's law, or listen to God's message, or listen to the reading of God's word, scripture reading, that we will do that using God's help, using His power, using His strength, and not our own strength. And that means too for God's preacher, for us who preach the Word of God, it means that when we preach the Word of God, we will do so with God's help. That's our solemn promise, that you are saying, Lord, our help is in the name of the Lord. Lord, this is my pledge. This is my vow that I'm going to do everything with your help. I'm going to do everything. Yes, even when I preach your word, I'm going to do that with your help. With your help. With your power. With the unction of the Holy Spirit. Paul says, my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see, as a servant of the Lord, when I preach, I'm aware that I am weak. I'm aware that I cannot stand behind this pulpit and deliver God's message. I am aware that without God's help, I cannot even prepare a message, let alone deliver that message. And so, I make that solemn promise to God, Lord, even when I prepare a message, even when I proclaim the message that you have given to me, I want to do it with your help, with your help. So that at the end, the people will sense that. Because people will sense the power of the Holy Spirit, even in the preaching of God's word. If the preaching of God's word does not come to us with the blessing of the Holy Spirit, with the unction of the Holy Spirit, it will not accomplish its purpose. We need God's help. And even when we give our offerings to God, we will do so with God's help. Because we know very well that by nature we are selfish. We do not want to give. We just want to receive. That's our nature. And so even in our giving, we acknowledge that we need God's help, that we are making a promise, a solemn promise. Lord, I want to give with your help. And so listen now, please. Since it is a solemn promise, since the votum is a solemn promise, whenever we worship God apart from His help, we commit sin. Because we are making a personal commitment. As soon as the minister declares our help is in the name of the Lord, he is making a solemn, sacred promise on behalf of the congregation that together we're going to worship God with God's help. And so when you don't worship God with God's help, you sin against Him because you break that solemn promise. The moment you begin to worship God using your own strength, relying on your own ability, thinking that you don't need God, thinking that you can handle it, then you commit sin. And the truth is, without God's help, you cannot worship God accordingly. You cannot worship Him as you should. We all need God's help. So my question is this: are you fulfilling your vow? Are we fulfilling our vow to God? Are we worshiping God with His help? Do we really mean it when we say our help is in the name of the Lord? Yes, you don't say it. The pastor says it, but he says it on your behalf. Are we really worshiping God with God's help? That even when you play the piano, play the organ, that everything that we do, we will do so with God's help. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Secondly, so first of all, the votum is our solemn vow or promise to God. Secondly, the votum is a humble declaration of our total dependence on God. That's why what you have here in your bulletin rightly describes the votum, declaration of dependence. The votum is not really a prayer, but a declaration of our absolute dependence on our God. We declare that our only help is in the name of the Lord, as we read in our text. And in pronouncing our complete dependence on God, by implication, we also acknowledge our weakness, our feebleness, our frailty, our shortcomings. We humbly acknowledge that apart from God, we cannot worship Him. Psalm 86 verse 1 says, "Bow down your ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy." When I was in the Philippines last week, I spoke in two separate conferences, and one of the organizers of the conference came to me and he said, "How do you want me to introduce you?" And you know how it is when there is an event like that. You want to tell them all your accomplishments. He's so-and-so. But I said to him, please don't forget that I am a poor, needy sinner saved by God's grace. Don't forget that. You may forget everything about me, but don't forget that. Because that describes me as a Christian. I am a poor, needy sinner. You see, whenever we pronounce our help is in the name of the Lord, we make a humble acknowledgement of our total dependence, absolute dependence on our God. That we are saying, Lord, without you, I can do nothing. And at the same time, we are admitting that we are weak, but God is strong. We are admitting that we are feeble, that we are poor, needy sinners, that we are beggars in great need of God's grace and mercy. As one hymn writer says, "Frail children of dust, and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail." We are feeble as frail, and yet we trust in our God. If we are able to worship God, it is because of God's divine help to us. Paul says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." Oh, I love that. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I work harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. This is what we want to acknowledge as we worship God. That if we are able to sit for I don't know how many minutes, if you are able to concentrate listening to God's word, if you are able to sing praises, if you are able to give your offerings to God, you know very well that it is not you but the grace of God which is in you. Which is in you. And that's why the votum should humble us before God. How can we boast? How can we be proud of ourselves if we know that our help is in the name of the Lord? It is not in your name. It is not in the name of your elder. It is not in the name of your pastor. It is not in the name of anyone in this congregation. That help comes only from our God. It is only in the name of God. And so it's really humbling to know that our help is in the name of the Lord. Third, yes, the votum is a humble declaration of our total dependence on God, but it is also an encouragement to us. It can serve as an encouragement to us as we worship God. Interestingly, the agenda for Synod of the Christian Reformed Church, written in 1920, almost 100 years ago. So in that agenda, it tells us that this votum is not meant to be a prayer for divine aid, but rather a solemn declaration that God is in the midst of His people with His saving grace. Similarly, Abraham Kuyper says that the votum is intended to confirm the presence of God in the midst of His people. So what a comfort and encouragement it is, therefore, for us to know that whenever we declare our help is in the name of the Lord, we are made aware that God is in our midst. That we are not alone. It is our assurance that God is going to be with us. We read from Psalm 146. But let me read Psalm 46 verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. And listen now, please. A very present help in trouble. God is in the midst of her, or in the midst of the church. She shall not be moved. God will help her. You know that this psalm inspired Martin Luther, the German Protestant reformer, to write his well-known hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God, which is really a paraphrase of Psalm 46. And it is reported that when Luther received any discouraging news, he would say to his friends, come, let us sing Psalm 46. A very present help in trouble. Imagine. So God is our help. And He is our very present help in trouble. In other words, you can find His help anytime. He's always present with us. And this is God's unchanging promise. One commentator notes, God is more present than friend or relative can be. Yes, more nearly present than even the trouble itself. How close is your trouble to you? How close is your problem to you? How near is it to you? Let me assure you that God's help is even closer to you. And God's help is present. Always. A very present help. That means even right now, we have God's help. That's why we don't have an excuse. We cannot say, well, I cannot worship God accordingly. I cannot worship Him as I should. Well, we have His help. We are being helped. We are being sustained by our God. If we can lift our voices in praises, that's because God is sustaining us. When a preacher is proclaiming God's word, he's being sustained by God. I am being helped by God right now. And as you are listening to God's message, you are also being helped by our God. You may not realize that, but that's God's promise. He is our very present help. Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him. He is my help and my God. Oh, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark, never failing, our helper. He amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. Yes, probably you entered God's sanctuary with heavy burdens. Maybe you're struggling right now. You have many, many trials. You're being afflicted. Oh, what an encouragement it is for us that we have the Votum assuring us that God is our help presently. Yes, He helped us in the past, but He continues to help us, and He will continue to help us in the future. He is our help. And finally, the Votum is our response to God for what He has done to us or for us. Namely, He has delivered us from our sins. And here we see the dialogical nature of our worship service. In true worship, there is a dialogue between God and man. And you notice that too, even in our order of worship, we begin with the call to worship. God is calling us. Come, come into my presence. Worship me, worship me. And then we respond with silent prayer. We pray to Him. And then we have the declaration of dependence. Our help is in the name of the Lord. And then God greets us. And then we sing. You see the dialogue? Worship service is not just a one-way activity. In worship service, we are also active. We participate in it. We dialogue, we commune with God, we fellowship with Him as He speaks to us through His word. We say with Samuel, Lord, speak to me and I will listen to you. The question is, are you listening to God right now, actively? Are you participating in God's worship service this evening? You know how often we come home and we complain and we say, I'm not blessed. I have not been blessed by the preaching of God's word or by the worship service. And maybe the reason why you have not been blessed is because you did not really participate in it actively. You need to open your mouth, wide open, and ask God to feed you till I want no more. As one hymn writer says, Lord, please feed me, O God, with your word, until I am satisfied. And you need to chew it, that word. You need to meditate on it. I cannot do that for you. It's like, you know, I have children, small children, 5, 4, and then 2, and then 7 months old. Especially our youngest child, she cannot eat yet on her own. And so we feed her. But I cannot chew that food for her. Yes, I give her food, but she has to chew it and she has to digest it for her to benefit from that food, for her to get the nutrients coming out of that food. If she does not bite it and chew it and swallow it, then she will go hungry. And if she goes hungry, she cannot complain to me. And how true it is when it comes to the preaching of God's word. Your pastor can only preach God's word to you. Your responsibility is to open your mouth, your spiritual mouth, and receive it, digest it, meditate on it. You know, I love like bubble gum. And trust me, I'm not going to spit it out until everything, the juice, is gone. I want to really make sure that there's nothing in it anymore. And we need to do the same. That we need to really digest, meditate on God's word. But here's my point. Yes, it's a dialogue. We participate. And yet, the votum is our response to our God for what He has done for us. You know, what's fascinating is, I want you to read Psalm 124. Psalm 124. So we see the context of the votum, the standard votum. I will read it for you. The entire chapter, it only has 8 verses. Psalm 124. A song of ascents of David, verse 1. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. You know what David is saying? It's a song of deliverance. He's saying we're not because of God's intervening grace, we would have been swallowed up by our enemies. We would have perished. But thanks be to God, He delivered us. And notice what He says at the end. This is what we call the votum. Look at verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And so really in this context, the votum is a declaration of praise. A statement of praise in response to what God has done. The immediate context, in response to what God has done to Israel. Namely, God delivered them from their enemies. Now, for us believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have received a far better kind of deliverance because our deliverance is deliverance from the power of Satan, from the power of sin, from the penalty of sin. God delivered us from our sins. In response, we say, our help is in the name of the Lord. And in doing so, we're saying, Lord, we want to praise you. We want to honor you. We want to acknowledge this. that it is because of your helping grace why I am here right now. You delivered me. You help me. An old Indian chief constantly spoke of the Lord Jesus and what he meant to him. "Why do you talk so much about Jesus?" asked a friend. The old chief did not reply, but slowly, deliberately gathered some sticks and bits of grass. He made a circle of them. In the circle, he placed a caterpillar. Still silent, the old chief struck a match and lit the sticks and grass. They watched the caterpillar as the fire caught around the circle. The trapped caterpillar began to crawl around rapidly, seeking a way to escape. As the fire advanced, the helpless caterpillar raised its head as high as it could. If the caterpillar could have spoken, it would have said, "My help can only come from above. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." Then the old chief stooped down. He extended his finger to the caterpillar, which crawled up his finger to safety. "That," said the chief, glowing, "was what the Lord Jesus did for me. I was lost in sin. My condition was hopeless. I was trapped. Then the Lord Jesus stooped down in love and mercy, and he drew me out of the horrible pit of sin and shame. He graciously helped me. How can I help but love him and talk of his wondrous love and care? How can I help but declare my help comes from the Lord?" Oh, the Lord rescued us. The Lord helped us. How can we help but say our help is in the name of the Lord? And so really, the votum is a statement of praise to God. We are acknowledging that it is our God who has helped us, who has delivered us from the power and penalty of sin. And as the psalmist says, "Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob." There is a great blessing when God becomes your help. Happy, blessed, which is the highest form of happiness. I am so happy, and here's the reason why. Because God is my help. He continues to be my help and will always be my help because he is my help. And that's what I mean whenever I pronounce the votum. And I pray too that whenever you hear the votum, you would remember that. It's not just a decoration in our bulletin. Or by accident, we have it there in our order of worship. It's so significant. It's so meaningful. Especially when you understand what it really means. Let us pray. Oh Lord, our God, we thank you so much for explaining to us what the votum means. We hear it every Sunday. But we confess, many of us do not really know what it means. And so, Lord, we thank you for helping us understand what it means and what it does to us also as believers in Christ. Oh, Lord, we are so blessed that you are our help. But, Lord, it is possible that this evening, in this congregation, there is someone here who does not know you. Maybe he finds his help or her help in something else, in someone else. If that's the case, then that person is helpless. For without you, we are hopeless and helpless. And so, Lord, I pray that you would use the same message to bring salvation to those who don't know God yet, to those who don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, as their helper, as the one who alone can help them and deliver them from the power and penalty of sin. Oh Lord, we thank you for what you have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.